Hello, everybody. This is Michael Janz with Agency Revolution. We make it easy to automate your systems, engage your customers, and grow your agency or brokerage. I want to welcome you to this episode of the Connected Insurance Podcast, where we examine the trends, innovations, challenges, and solutions to the biggest problems facing retail agents and brokers. And I am thrilled to introduce to you my friend Spencer Holden as today's guest. I first got to know Spencer when I had the privilege of keynoting a conference for ACT with Ron Berg. And since then, I've had the opportunity to get to know Spencer as one of the more forward-thinking leaders in our industry. He's the president of Erickson Insurance. He has over 25 years of experience as a personal insurance advisor. He's licensed in the majority of states. He's testified on Capitol Hill in front of both houses of Congress. He has appeared on TV for Fox, CNBC, CNN, and so forth. And within the industry, he has provided consistent leadership. He was the president of the Independent Insurance Agents of Connecticut, the youngest president in the association's 106-year history, and he's currently the chair of the National Association, the Independent Insurance Agents and Brokers of America. So for those of you who are brokers, I want to encourage you to listen very carefully because you're listening to a fellow broker who I think has a very clear sense of the direction of the industry, the trends that are affecting the industry, and what we need to do to thrive. So without further ado, I'll introduce you to my friend, Spencer Holden. Thank you. Spencer, it's a privilege to have you here. Thanks so much for joining us.
Michael, thanks for the honor and the opportunity to share views and appreciate all you do for the industry.
I think everybody knows when I say the big guy, I'm talking about the Independent Insurance Agents and Brokers of America. And so you've been, as they say, working your way up the chairs for a few years. So this is, while you're relatively new in that seat, you've been in a position of leadership in the industry for a long, long time. So I thank you for that. To a large extent, actually, if you don't mind, I'm going to ask you if you can give us a 10 or 15 second sort of summary of Spencer as agent, as well as Spencer as, in your official capacity as chair, because you're also an active agent. Tell us a little bit about what you do there to give some perspective to people.
I am actually fairly young to hold the position of Big Eye Chair. In fact, the youngest, we think, in the history of the association. I'm in my late 40s. Second-generation agency owner out of Connecticut. Believe it or not, our agency is 90% of our revenue comes from personal lines, which is unusual. Mm-hmm. So I have a specific focus on personal insurance to high-net-worth individuals. My brother and I own the agency. And then as it relates to the Big Eye, I went through the Connecticut chairs and then onto the national board a decade ago and have been going through the executive committee chairs for the past 6 years. And I'll tell you, it's an honor, but it's also fascinating as I travel around the country from state convention to state convention to hear the opinions of different agents and what their concerns are, present and future, and how what's on their mind changes from different areas of the country. So it's been fascinating.
You have a unique perspective, I think, that you gain as being chairperson of one of the national associations. So it's mostly from that position that I'm gonna dive into your brain because I'm more than curious what you're hearing in the field. So let me start with the first question. There is an opinion that the independent agency system is shrinking, and that there are fewer independent agents today than there were 5 years ago. True or not true?
True that that's the opinion. False that that's reality. Every 2 years, the Big Eye hires a outside firm called Zeldis Research in cooperation with insurance carriers to conduct surveys of independent agents to try to get some trends in the industry. And we just released, a couple weeks ago actually, we released the results of the 2016 study. And we have independent agents pegged right now at about 38,000. And believe it or not, if I go back to 2006, 10 years ago, we were at 37,500. Mm-hmm. So we have stayed relatively flat. Now, most people think with the mergers and acquisitions that how could you have the same number of agencies? Because we all look around us and we see the consolidation. But the reality is we have a lot of startups,
right?
Especially with direct writers who decide representing one company is just not going to work out in the future, and they make the move to the independent agency system. And we have a lot of millennials that are opening up in their basement and using technology to do great things. So it's actually the independent agency system is holding its own, and I think we'll talk about this through technology, I think, is thriving.
It's interesting. So to give you a sense of how long Michael has been in the industry, when I got involved, Spencer, I think the general estimate was that there were roughly 80,000 independent insurance agencies. So we know that there can be disruptive forces, and we know that the trends can cause contraction. And there have been a lot of mergers and acquisitions in the last few years, but I can agree with what you say. Anecdotally, we get phone calls from a lot of small startups and a lot of millennials who are running agencies today. And I sometimes wonder if they're going to give some of the established agencies a run for their money.
Well, I think so, especially when you look at the demographics of our old traditional agencies that don't have the skill sets to adopt the technology of today. And to your point, I will add, if you go back 10 years before 2006 to 1996, there were 44,000. So we went through a period from 96 to 06 where we steadily declined by 1,000 to 2,000 agencies a year, but then it held its own. But I agree with you. One of the things we saw in this study is that smaller agencies, which have revenue of 150,000 or less, actually grew, and larger agencies over 5 million of revenue grew, and then everybody in the middle kind of shrunk. So I think we're seeing a lot of startups.
Interesting.
And they're very successful.
Right. And I think some of them come prepackaged with skills that everybody should have. In other words, comfort with technology, comfort with communication and marketing technologies. So what we've noticed is that we get calls from them, and we don't require a long educational phase, whereas often when we're speaking with a more established, more mature agency, it's a longer sales cycle that requires more education because they are less familiar with what technology can do. So I think, yeah, maybe that's a sign of hope, but I want everybody to sort of embrace the ability to scale through technology, not just the young upstarts. So, that kind of gets me to, you know, the next issue, which is this sort of, there is a changing demographic in our space. And one of those changes, it's almost a little bit frightening. The independent agent on the whole is aging. Set aside the young upstarts, but there are a lot of older agency principals, and in some cases it appears that there really is a failure to bring in the younger generation, bring in the millennials who it would seem are so necessary to make connections with the large millennial population, and maybe, at least if not necessary, important to use the technologies that help them reach that millennial generation. What did the study shed any light on that?
Well, the study did show that the average age of a principal held steady, actually shrunk a little bit for the first time in a long time. You know, in the mid 60s, we had been seeing this demographic of age increase, but we have seen an adoption. If we want to talk about social media and marketing, we've seen an adoption of social media increase pretty heavily. In fact, in 2014, when we ran the research, 48% of independent agents were using some form of social media, and that jumped to 56%, which is a meaningful jump in 24 months.
Right.
Now, with that said, and I certainly don't mean to make a joke of this, but I do find it extremely comical, 31% of us are still advertising in the yellow pages. And I don't know about you, Michael, but I don't even own the yellow pages And my kids don't even know what the Yellow Pages are, but one third of us are still using that as a form of marketing. The good news is that's down from 42%. So, but I went immediately and looked up. I found the Yellow Pages, and I looked up who in my area were advertising and the size of the ads, and people are still spending significant marketing dollars on the Yellow Pages. So we have a long way to go.
That's fascinating. Spencer, years ago, my most downloaded report of all time was 21 ways to write a killer Yellow Pages ad. I think it's been a few years since anybody. Hey, it's really good, solid content. You could apply it to anything, but I don't think anybody's asked for that ad for a long time. The Yellow Pages in our town, of course, I'm from a relatively small town here in Bend, Oregon. You know, maybe you used to be able to use it for a doorstop, but I think the door would just go right over it now.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, it's thin.
There was a day when I was traveling around the country, you know, when I checked into a hotel, first thing I'd do is I'd pull out the Yellow Pages and I'd see who were my guys, because I could tell, you know, who was using my style of advertising in the Yellow Pages, and I could look at it and say, oh, cool, I got a couple of clients here because they're using my ad. Probably not so much anymore.
No, and that's the challenge, Michael, is we are still, the independent agency force is still predominantly male, pale, stale, and older.
Right.
And nobody's going to argue that. It's a fact. And trying to adopt people to learn new technology from the marketing perspective is very difficult, especially when you get established and you're so busy running your business and you have an established book of business. You don't have time to try to figure out how Facebook works or how Google Plus works or LinkedIn. And so you're just relying on your own old techniques of the Yellow Pages. And it's a little bit of a crisis point in my mind.
That's a crisis point. Again, from your perspective, you travel around the country. You get intelligence briefings in your role there at the Big Eye. How do you think the system is doing? Is the independent agency today surviving? Are they thriving? And what are they doing? The ones that are winning, what are they doing to win?
It's a great question, and I truly mean this. I have never been as excited as I am now about the future of the system, because technology is going to become the great equalizer with the direct writers and the 800 numbers. According to the results, 70% of the agents that were interviewed saw an increase in their revenue from 14 to 16, and another 15% were flat. And I think the ones that are shrinking are just because maybe they're letting their agency, you know, wither. They're collecting the commission, but they're really on the downside and not
right.
trying to grow it.
Mm-hmm.
So the agency system is growing, and we're grabbing market share for sure. But I think the consumer of today and tomorrow obviously is looking for that 24/7 service that we've always had trouble delivering, but there's so many tools out there now, not only third parties, but company service centers, where it won't be long before the mobile apps and the company service centers, it'll just be commonplace that 24/7 service from an independent agent is very, very doable. And I think that is what's going to make us thrive in the future, because that's where we've been at a disadvantage with some of the other distribution channels.
Earlier this year, I spoke with one of the researchers at Deloitte, Sam Friedman, who has been very active in our industry for many, many, many years. And his report indicated that, and he was particularly addressing the small business owner. His report indicated that, according to their research, 60% of our channel's customers don't feel that they get anything from the agent after the agent gets paid. It strikes me that that's a really vulnerable position for our channel to be in.
I agree with you, and I think it's probably a very accurate number. I think we have to do a better job of being advisors, and I think we have to somehow transform our agencies from being transactional people of actually making the changes, you know, somehow find to allow the companies to do that work. We need to become advisors with touch points. We have a young man here at my firm who has designed, and we've been working on it for a couple months, and we're going to roll it out when it's ready in maybe another 30 days. but it's a automated renewal questionnaire that asks certain life events like marriages right. and kids going to school. And mm-hmm. And so he's been beta testing it with some of his clients. We've sent out maybe 30 of them. And we had one client that filled out this brief survey for us that we responded to. And he said, I'm so glad you sent that because I was about to leave you for Geico because I just didn't see the value in you. But when you sent this, I now know that you asked the questions and you care. So that's where we have to get to. We have to get to the point that they see our value as advisors.
And technology can help us do that. So when
Absolutely.
When you when you go around the country talking to agents and brokers, it's been my sense, and I'm curious if you're feeling the same thing. There is, it seems to be a sense of anxiety that they know that there's a great deal of change. They're reading about emerging digital competitors in trade magazines and probably online. Over the years, Geico and Progressive Direct, they've done a pretty good job growing their share of market share. And overall, just in general, of course, we know the consumer behavior has changed dramatically, hence making their Yellow Pages ad pretty much, in most cases, a waste of resource. What is it that you think, what are they saying to you? What are agents fearing? You know, what are they anxious about the future about?
Well, it's funny, from a competition standpoint, and I don't really understand this, but the biggest thing I'm hearing is they're worried about direct purchase through insurance companies, even independent agency companies that are going to go direct or have gone direct and compete directly against the independent agent. And you know, maybe I'm wrong in this, but I don't see that as much as the threat as the emerging technologies of all of the capital that's coming in to try to be a disruptor in our industry. And we don't need to name names, but, you know, there are dozens of startups right now trying to find a better way to sell insurance to a consumer. And that scares me. The driverless car and that technology scares me because I don't know how insurance is either going to be needed or, you know, there's talk of maybe the manufacturer will sell insurance as part of the sale of the car. Mm-hmm. To me, that's the scary part of the unknown. It's not that we're going to have competition from our insurance companies because I think we've proven that if we show the value proposition, if you work hard and show the consumer why you exist and what you bring to the table, then they're not going to want to buy direct from the insurance company. Even if it costs a little bit more to do business with an independent agent, people will see the value if you show it to them. So 36% of the agents in the Zelda study actually said that their biggest fear is direct purchase, where only 13% said the driverless car was, and 16% said usage-based insurance was. So I don't agree with that. I think our what scares me is the unknown of the future.
Got it.
Good or bad, I just don't know.
So what do you think the future does hold for the independent agency system?
Well, nobody's found a better mousetrap yet, and a lot of people have tried it. So I would be very scared if I was a captive agent with only one carrier,
right,
and I was married to that one carrier. I don't think that that model can change. I do think there's always going to be that consumer that enjoys the 800 number experience. But all of the surveys you see inside and outside the industry say that most consumers like to research insurance on the web or products on the web, but they like to buy local.
Right.
And it's how do you get those consumers from the internet into the local independent agency system? And I by no means mean to have a commercial here, but I truly mean this. When we look at the last 6 months of TrustedChoice.com and the number of referrals that are going to independent agents and what we're learning from it, there's something there. It's we have a way of doing this, and we're starting to see it. But I think there's so much on the horizon for independent agents that it's going to be great. But, you know, Michael, you and I have both discussed this in other forums. We need to figure out the millennials, not only as employees, but we need to figure out that consumer. And
right.
we have to understand that they're different. And if you decide to run your firm like you have for the last 40 years, you're not going to make it. You're going to be one of those 15% that isn't growing. But, boy, if you're smart about this and you adopt the technology and you understand the next buying generation, I think things are going to be great.
So, Spencer, looking at the environment that we're in, where there's a great deal of change and some of that change is potentially threatening, and, of course, there are other changes that are really potentially quite inspiring. What advice would you give to an independent agent who wants to grow and wants to have a secure future and make a difference in this industry?
Well, I think the number one piece of advice that I would give is listen to the next generation of employees and get out of their way. I actually wrote a chairman's column for the Big Eye magazine on this subject a couple months ago, and I referenced my father, who, when I came into business in 1991, we didn't have computers. We had a little computer for rating, but I introduced word processing, and then I talked to him about the need to get an agency management system, and it was going to be a $20,000 investment, which was huge.
Uh-huh.
And my father, a lot of fathers would fight it. We don't need that. You know, I've got my way. My father said, I'm going to trust you that this is what we need to do and run with it. Well, what happened was we did adopt technology, and my
right.
father had zero interest in learning how to use it. And it basically led to his retirement because he didn't want to learn how to use the computer. But, you know, all the credit belongs to him because he got out of the way. He realized that you have to let the next generation lead the way. And that's my advice is you know, take the younger people in your firm and talk to them about how they perceive the agency system and how they perceive the future. And, you know, they may not always get it right, but don't think that your way of doing things for the last 40 years is the right way, because it probably isn't.
It's the way we've always done it.
Let them run.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's so funny because I've told that story a number of times. Years ago, I used to run the Trade Association on the West Coast, and mm-hmm. and we would sponsor. They were like agency management, you know, the battle of the management system, right? And so we'd get a few of them up on stage, and the audience would be full of agents, and people would be scratching their head in the back and looking at each other saying, do you have one of these things? Do you need one of these things? And that conversation went on for a while. We see the same kind of conversation happening right now where agents are saying, do you need marketing automation or a communication platform? Are you doing that? And so it feels very much like it felt 20 years ago or so with that conversation. Spencer, you play, first of all, I want to thank you for the volunteer role that you play in the industry. It's I know that it's a great sacrifice of time. I've been in that industry for, in that part of the industry for a long time. I started my career there. So I know that it's a sacrifice of your time. You're probably spending more time with the Big Eye than you are with your own agency. So others.
That's a true statement, by the way.
Yeah. No. Well. No. I know it.
But it's an honor. And you know, it's funny. We're talking about the challenges of the independent agent. We face the similar challenges with the Big Eye,
bringing
our members, you know, what do our members need today? Because it's very different than what they needed yesterday.
Exactly.
And so it's fun. I'm watching the whole industry transform very quickly, and thus the association having to transform with it, and we're doing it. But it's fascinating.
If others who are listening to this want to be more involved in the industry, what do you suggest that they do?
Well, I think a trade organization is a great start. I think user groups of agency management systems are a great place to get involved. But the Big Eye, and again, I don't mean to have a commercial for the Big Eye, but we have 52 programs, everything from Invest bringing high school classes to ACT, which is focused on agency technology mm-hmm. and working with companies to make it better. So there's something for everybody, and we have a state association in all 50 states, and that's a great place to get your feet wet on getting involved with something that's of interest to you.
Very good, and we encourage the same. Get involved, and let's fight for the industry. All right. Spencer, this has been a great pleasure. It was a lot of fun. I really, really appreciate you taking the time out to join us, so thank you very much.
No, and thank you, Michael, and thanks for being a thought leader in the industry and always bringing these subjects to the forefront, because we have to learn from each other, for sure.